Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning.
Brenda Martini, would you do me a favor, please? I see that I have left my book in the office. It's kind of, here, come this way, darling. Go right through here. It's a privileged ministerial door. It's orange. It's You Are the Power, something like that. Kennedy Schultz. I am concerned about my battery again, actually. Yeah, it's not going to stay. Okay, so it's on. I'm just going to hold it for a little while, and if it goes off, I'm going to take the handheld, and we'll do it that way. So, good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I am Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm really happy to have you all here this morning. And Lorna Bright, where you been?
Yeah, we got a battery issue, I think.
Okay, so note to self, the batteries don't last very long in the new mic. All right, making a change. So, Kruger, you're going to want to turn off the other mic so we don't get any stuff. Spot on for what I have to say this morning. Thank you very much. Good choice in that selection that was just preceding me. And we are going to have an interesting conversation this morning because we're talking about being a center of activity. And a center of activity is going to have a double meaning as we share some ideas this morning. So first, I'm going to be speaking about the way that the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living is a center that's been planted in the West Valley to deliver this gorgeous new thought message that we have ideas that are universal ideas that are based upon threads of truth that come from all kinds of world religions and spiritual traditions. And in addition to that, we're not only looking at the way our community stands in that great, big, beautiful, universal truth, but we're looking at the way we are individually centers of activity, that each of us as an individual expression of God, each of us is our own center. So it's like we are the center of our own universe, but what I hope to share with you this morning is that it is way more than we are our own universe. There's something even greater to be revealed about all of that. So we'll be talking this morning about our personal relationship to that idea of being a center of activity, but we'll be also speaking about the community and then that greater universal perspective. So, you know, it's February, and it has been a month where the theme for Centers for Spiritual Living, the CSL centers around the world, many of us are focusing on this year-long theme of spiritual-based values. And for February, we're specifically looking at inclusivity and diversity. And I just feel that this is such a beautiful occasion for us to have an emphasis on the way that we do look at the value of being inclusive. That means we do not exclude anyone. We do not have a belief that says we have a closer relationship to God than anybody else. We don't even believe we certainly don't believe we have the only way to God. But we believe we are just one form of expression, and what we do so beautiful here is that we do indeed aim to honor all the paths to God because there are so many and they are so varied. By the way, Lorna, I love how you play piano. You put your whole body into it. I was thinking that I speak the way you play the piano. I was put my whole self into it because I'm trying to like not give it all away in the beginning. I have a long day, you know, but it's hard to hold it when you really want to be expressing it out there. So today is indeed our annual business meeting. So if you're a member, I ask you, please, please, please stick around and participate in that. We do need a quorum in order for that to be an effective and productive meeting. In fact, we can't have the meeting without a quorum. So we'll be doing that after we eat. And so I would invite you to enjoy that the gentlemen have prepared food for us, but eat fast. Eat fast so we can have our meeting and we can get to Lorna and have a good time with all the things that we have slated for today. So what I want to say this morning at the very top of my message is very personal to each of you. I thought a lot about this. That as we're looking at the way we are a center of activity, as we're looking at, in terms of the business meeting that follows, the sort of measurements of what we have done this year, and we'll be reporting on all of that, I want to say to you that there is no scale or measurement. There is no estimate of the size or the ability or the strength or the importance of you. And each of us can hear that in a very personal way. That one of the things that we really aim to seed in consciousness here by way of this beautiful teaching left by Dr. Ernest Holmes is that we all matter, that we all make a difference to the world, that we all come with certain gifts, and it isn't always the way we play piano or stand up and speak or your profession. It's so much more than that. And that's what we're going to look at. And above all else, I want us to not underestimate that truth of who we are. So there is a way in which we speak of that as the spiritual being, but I also want to honor you as an individual in your humanity, in the glorious way we show up. Because when we show up with each other, we create community and we create again then yet another center. And I see that all of that is a great reminder that we are a center of possibility. Each and every one of us is a center of possibility. So as the leader of this community, my vision for, I have to think a lot about that because that's what my report's supposed to be about, my vision for all of us in the upcoming year. And what I know and what I have actually known for several months now is that my vision has molded itself into being around the way we are relevant. And I find that's my word for the year when I was doing all my work to look at what is the leading word, the guiding word that I will carry with me through this year as I tend to the details of leadership. And what I know is it's about relevance, that we, in order to make a difference in the West Valley, we as a spiritual community want to be relevant. We want to be valuable and use our teaching in such a way that it benefits people where they are at this time in life, at this time in the world, in the way things are always unfolding in the world, always this way we're looking at movement and change. So I want us to really appreciate first that we are relevant. And then I aim for us to look at the ways we can live up to that relevance. And so I will be talking this morning, but then I'll be talking again at the business meeting. And all of it is the same topic. We're going to tie it all together. So this is just the appetizer. Let's just think of this as the appetizer. So here's what I know. We are a part of a very large group of people that are interested in the future of humanity. I think this is a gorgeous statement to say about our organization, Centers for Spiritual Living, for the history of the science of mind teaching. What it has always been intended to mean is relevant to the times that we live in. So we are a part of this very large group of people that are interested in the future of humanity. We care about each other. I really see that demonstrated so beautifully right here in our little piece of the West Valley. But we are relevant, in my opinion, because we know how to stand together in difficult times. So I know that we come together and then we have our individualized ways that we move through our experiences and we encounter stuff. And then the good news is that we don't all encounter stuff on the same day. So if you're in community, there are always people who are strong in remembering the truth about who they are. People that can then be a little resilient and walk through that stuff, knowing that it's just an experience that we can move through. And so what that means to me is that I'm allowed to have a bad day. I'm allowed to forget about what I know, or maybe have a little concern or worry over something silly, or maybe something not so silly, but that I ultimately will get through it, and that I'm always sitting in the middle of a consciousness that supports a greater truth. And so because that greater truth, that truth is sort of like the way the universe seems to always work so perfectly, that all that intelligence in nature knows how to it feeds on that insistence on life to always be demonstrating that sort of forward orderliness that life is all about, that even when our life looks chaos, that there is something more real unfolding. And so we get to take turns in helping each other remember that. But the thing is, and this is what really struck me when I was working with the message this week, was we're a part of this much larger group that's standing for that future for humanity. But I'm not talking about just religious science, not just the people that are a part of any of these teachings. I'm not even talking about the greater new thought organized way that we come together and use affirmative prayer to support us, and we believe in the positivity of life and the great use of affirmations and the way beliefs can really be changed. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about a great group of humanity on this planet that is willing to stand for the future of humanity in a positive way. So maybe it's kind of like the way that we take turns reminds me of that way that geese have a flight pattern. You know how they say that there's that one goose in the front that does all that work that then creates a draft, and then after a while, the lead goose will step around, and another goose will take the lead, and they take turns doing that. And I think that's the way I see community, is that's the way we help each other, and that's what friendship is about. You know, isn't it awful when you're having a really bad day, and so is your best friend, you know? Ooh, what do we do now? So as we look at this idea that there are always people that are willing to stand in the light, I think that's what I appreciated about the song, the lyrics to the song that you sang, Lorna, that we then create an easier way to stretch our own consciousness to larger possibilities, to therefore a greater experience of life. So if you look at all the people in the world who have taken a stand for an important concept, a large concept, like people that have taken a stand for education or civil rights or the environment or religion, look at what has happened to religion through the years, or even, dare I say, politics. What we see is that these are all people who have the capacity to stand for really big concepts. And so do we. We have this teaching that trains us how to do that. And therefore, we don't have to withdraw from the world when things get a little scary, but we can learn that when the load feels heavy, we can spread it out. We can have people pray for us. We can have people keep the high watch for us. We can take the time to turn within, to be quiet for a little while if we need to, and to stretch ourselves so that we are constantly growing and that we can create ourselves to be a bigger container to receive that that consciousness then is bigger, so that we can receive greater and greater good into our lives, to keep that vision clearer, to be that stronger beacon of light, you might say. So spiritually speaking, what we're doing is we're filling ourselves with that essence of life, with that vitality of life. And I believe that that is the life that is trying to emerge on this planet right now. Absolutely. See, they've been hearing it and hearing it. So thank you. Can I hear an amen from the back? Yeah, there we go. I feel much better. So there's stuff to do, but here's the beautiful part. You only have to do your own work. And you will know what your own work is by the way you are being sort of mentally hounded. You know, if you notice that you can't let go of something, then put some light on it. Put some truth into it. Remember the greater truth and dare to open yourself and invite that infinite wisdom of all the universe, spirit itself, to guide you in what it is you are being called to do. And then let's use each other. Let's remember to support each other through those times as well. So what I think happens, if you're going to look at it through my eyes, is that by our willingness then to stretch our container, to support each other, we become a real active part of healing that which is being called to be healed at this time. So there is a way for us to respond affirmatively to everything that's going on in the world now. Let me repeat that. There is a way to respond affirmatively to everything going on in the world right now. Yet I notice that sometimes the way I respond affirmatively is to say, stop, enough already. You know, sometimes don't you, you just want to quit hashing something over and over and over in your mind. It's not doing any good. It's just digging the hole deeper. So sometimes the affirmative positive action is to say no to the negative. And so we don't eliminate that from our vocabulary. We choose it as we need it. It's like setting healthy boundaries, you might say. So this time that we're living in right now is not a time for weeping. It's not a time for moaning, though it was for a little while. And it's not a time for whining, because there's a lot of that going on. There's not a time for name-calling, though some people can't seem to resist that either. But I believe that it is a beautiful illustration that tough times do not change the truth. The truth is the truth. And you get to choose what you decide about this universe that we live in, about what you believe about this planet that we live upon, and what you believe about humanity. And how you choose will then impact what you see when you move through each and every day. That's right. So, you know, the good news is, even if you have a single moment of knowing this, you have helped to heal the world. Now, we are not peacemakers. I think Maya Angelou said this. I had it on my computer, and I saw it this morning. We are not peacemakers. We are peace bringers. We are not peacemakers, we are peace bringers, and we can take that inner peace with us wherever we go. And why is that? Because we hold a vision for peace that is more than the absence of war. That's right. That's right. So this stuff is true, and it is scientifically proven, and we are proving it, and that is the whole point of New Thought. That is the whole point of the word science connected to spirituality, that it is provable. So we embark on our day every day, and we have an opportunity to prove whatever it is we believe, and whatever direction we go, whether it's more toward the dark or more toward the light, is based upon those beliefs that are already in there and how we have fed those beliefs in any given day. But this is scientific stuff, because you are the world. You are the universe. Now, in the research that I pulled, I'm gonna dabble in a little bit of quantum physics, and I'm gonna say it's a real little bit, because it's not my favorite topic, as many of you know. But there is so much substance to what we're pulling from the field of quantum mechanics now. So I found this quote from a gentleman named Sir John Eccles. New to me. He is a well-known Australian neurophysiologist. He won the Nobel laureate in 1963. He made his transition in the early 90s, I believe. And here's something he said. He is known for the wave and the particle and all that stuff that goes with quantum physics. Ask Nancy Noel. She'll explain it beautifully for you. But listen to what he said. I want you to realize that there exists no color in the natural world and no sound. Nothing of this kind. There are no textures. There are no patterns. There is no beauty. There is no scent. We are looking at the biology of perception. The luxurious scent of a rose, or the sting of a wasp, or the taste of honey, these things are produced by human beings. See, these things happen because we observe them, because we are there to notice it. So quantum science tells us that that the observer has an impact on that which is being observed. These are things that they have been working with for more than 100 years. And so if we look at this idea of quantum physics and we want to go even a little bit deeper, I found a reference to, this was really painful when I was in school and we had to study all this. But before Sir John was writing his reports and winning the Nobel Prize, there was Erwin Schrodinger, right? Oh, see, look at, you guys all, you know all this stuff. Help everybody else that doesn't. Or if I confuse it worse than it is, make it easier for people to understand during lunch. Schrodinger said the same thing. He said, now, by the way, he was also a very important contributor in lots of ways. He actually is connected to their, before they found to understanding DNA. But he's the scientist that studied the physics of the universe, achieved great fame for his work. He won the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1933, so that was about 30 years before Sir John did. And Schrodinger is considered the father of quantum mechanics. Now, he was doing all these studies well before the day of Sir John. Listen to what he said. Photons, quanta of light, have no color. Such properties arise in the biology of biology of the perception. So it is in the observer, and we are that. Each and every one of us is the observer in our own life. So the theory of quantum mechanics is suggesting that things like heat and light and mass would simply not exist without the human experience. Why did God create humanity? For the delight, for God's own delight, for God to have that experience that can only be had as we, as human beings, have the experience of those things that would otherwise not even exist. So, yes. Yes, but let me say the punchline. Then we'll have a big amen. So the universe is not out there. It is here, and you are it. Good one. Deepak Chopra, brand new book. Also probably going to be a little too hard for me to read, but man, I'm going to take it on because I read a little excerpt that's got me all excited. Deepak said, the brain isn't the seat of the consciousness, but it is more like a radio receiver translating conscious activity into physical correlates. Thoughts become things. Change your thinking, change your life, right? So to truly understand how all of this works, you don't have to Google anything. You don't have to understand the theory of it. We simply must learn to be more aware, to be awake, to be conscious, and to be conscious in our choices, because as the great teacher said, as you believe, so it is. See, it is our awareness that turns mind into matter. So when we are awake, I was thinking it's really this, I have to simplify it for me, so I'm going to share it with you too, because this helped me. So I was thinking it might be as simple as looking at the way we sort of vibrate different when we're asleep as compared to when we're awake, right? I mean, think about it. Your breathing patterns should be different when you're asleep as compared to when you're awake. So there's a different energetic about who we are when we're sleeping as opposed to being awake. And when we're talking about spiritual awareness, about awakening in terms of consciousness, we are also talking about a completely different vibration. When we are aligned to those greater truths, in those moments where we really recognize there's a power and a presence that is greater than we are, and we can use it, then something shifts within us. We are aligning ourselves to truth. We are standing, we are taking a position and standing in a divine pattern. It is the truth of our life. It is the truth of all life. And when we are standing in that divine pattern and we are aware of it, everything goes different because we are a center of activity. We're the center of the activity that's unfolding in our own life. We're always collaborating with all of that. And when we do that consciously, we are attracting into our lives higher outcomes, greater possibilities, extreme expansion of goodness, of joy, and of peace. So what that means is the person that holds the highest level of truth around health never gets sick. What that means is the person who is most aligned to a clear awareness of the abundance in the universe is the person who has the keenest prosperity consciousness, and that person never knows lack or poorness. Never. And that also means that when we are clearly aware of the presence of God in our life as love, then everywhere we look, we will only see love, no matter what. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't figured out how to do all those things at the same time, right? I do pretty good with health, and I kind of brag about it, and then doggone it, I get to have an experience in health. I do pretty good with finances, but I can't seem to manage my time. You know, that's where I battle with enoughness is the calendar and my time. So just know that none of us are going to have it packaged in such a way that we are immune to physical things because we live in physical bodies, and that's okay. That's, you know, as I say so frequently, let's honor that, let's appreciate that, and love these gorgeous, beautiful bodies that give us these life experiences. Ernest Holmes said, "If you would feel that you could fling your consciousness out into the infinite expansion and draw back to you everything you want, this would simply circulate around more and more." It's like it's contagious, right? It increases. So we are powerful beings. As Lorna seemed to be singing the words of Yoda, luminous beings are we. That was your song on light. So we are a center of divine truth. You are a divine center. You are the universe. And let us not forget that. The West Valley Center for Spiritual Living is also a center of activity. Nobody would deny that. If you check out our calendar online or pick up a hard copy here, you'll see that we always have a lot of stuff going on. And we therefore have a high level of energy. We stay engaged with each other and with the outside community. There's a lot of calling and attracting and a lot of goodness that's always flowing around for more and more of that good, that activity. And when we consciously participate as a group in this teaching, that also then expands that ability for us to be enhanced by each other just by being in each other's company. That's why we have somebody sitting the high watch each Sunday, someone who makes a commitment to hold that consciousness. So when we are attuned to that perfect pattern, oh my goodness, it's like we become more aware of the divine presence in all things. My current favorite poet. Anybody take a guess? Yes, Mark Nepo. Good job. I must talk about him a lot, huh? I really, really love him. I don't love him as much as I do you, honey. Oh, there you are. But I love him a lot. I start my mornings with Mark, not Hugh. Mark Nepo said this, listen to these gorgeous words, "That which transcends all earthly endeavor keeps us alive, while spirit works unknowable physics on us, eroding us to know that we are each other." Right? Because it's everywhere. It's truth. We can't dodge it. And probably the very best part of our teaching is affirmative prayer. I'm not even sure I should say probably. I don't know. What do you think, Reverend Cheryl? Okay, that's it. She said, I have it on high authority that the best part of our teaching is our affirmative prayer that we call spiritual mind treatment. And right now, there are scads of people sitting right here amongst you who are intensely studying how to learn it, how to practice it, how to use it. There are 14 people in the foundation class. I heard there were 11 people yesterday that showed up for the Saturday workshop on prayer. So 14 people in that class. There are 8 students in Reverend Clyde's treatment and meditation class. And in addition to that, I'm working with 2 practitioner students. That's a total of 24 individuals actively involved. And as I look around this room, I'm going to guess that that's probably about 30%+ of who's sitting in this room right now. Do you know what happens when 30% of a group puts that intense of a focus on something? Something happens, right? There's a lot of light there. That consciousness is really stretching to bigger and bigger dimensions. And when we open ourselves to these new concepts and we begin to practice them and change ever so slightly, we see that minds are more open. And what that means to me is that there's more light that is coming to the planet right now, and certainly more light in this community. So I brought this book that always, well, not always, but for 6 months maybe, has been sitting by my reading chair. It's by J. Kennedy Schultz. Dr. Kennedy Schultz was a science of mind minister, and this book is called You Are the Power. And I wanted just to read you something that he has to say about the way we pray. By the way, he was known to be a bit extreme. He was a charismatic little guy. I don't know that he was little. I never met him. But he was very charismatic, and he had strong statements to say about what we believe. He probably intimidated people, but he was very beloved. He spoke truth well and with great enthusiasm. The premise of this philosophy is that God, the indwelling creative spirit, is all good and all giving. The premise is that God, the creative spirit, is all good and all giving. This new concept of God calls for a new way to pray. It is a pure idea of God and a pure idea of prayer. It is unpolluted by theological contrivance or traditional superstition. See, I can't say that quite that boldly, but I can read it, and I align to it. So let me just say that again. It is a pure idea of God and a pure idea of prayer, unpolluted by theological contrivance and traditional superstition. It provides us with a God worth believing in and exciting to deal with, and it leads to a method of productive communication with our indwelling Creator. Yeah, amen. Hey, I bet you were a fan of Kennedy Schultz's, right? Oh, we got a few of them. We got a few of them in the room. Your teacher's teacher, that's awesome. That is really lovely. And really, wouldn't that make powerful ministers, right? All right. So I've been talking on Sundays for a lot of years, hundreds of Sundays, thousands of class hours, not hard to accumulate when you're a minister. They add up pretty fast. But if you asked me, what's the purpose of prayer? I would say this, at least this week. I might say something different next week. But if you ask me right now, after preparing all this material, I would say prayer is for the purpose of staying awake, of staying aware, staying at the center of what's possible. Yeah, it's simple, to the point. It keeps us open to a greater scheme of what's possible for us. So it really is the way that prayer really is the way that we're reminded that something in this universe is working for us. And as Nepo said, it's using an unknowable physics on us, eroding us to know that we are each other. Our power of observance makes us more. We are a center of truth. We are a center of activity. We are the universe. We are the world. You are perfect just the way you are. And there's more to come. So I would like to anchor some of these ideas in the words of prayer. If you'll just get comfortable where you're seated, we'll turn within. So we just let all these intellectual ideas move through the room. We let them land where they may. And we are open to the little gem that is just ours this morning. That piece of truth that we can carry home and ponder. I feel the love of God within me, and I recognize that it indeed is the activity of life itself. It is that center where all life begins. I sense that power and that presence right here in this very room. I know it is the infinite wisdom of the entire universe, outpicturing everywhere at all times as we are observers. I know that it is in our conscious union with that one, the way in which we step into that place of openness. Knowing there is one mind, it is the mind of God. And that mind is our mind. Now, I feel the love of God, and I know it to be that most powerful force in the universe. It is that which allows us to recognize we are a center of truth, a beam of light, a beacon in the desert. We are truth personified. That there is within this glorious human body an intelligence in every organ, in every system, in every cell and molecule of our being, the very DNA of God. I feel that movement of love within me. I sense it moving through this room, and I know there is a healing going on. That even now, as we realign ourselves, as we allow our energetic vibration to move into oneness with this divinity, that we are restored to our wholeness, that we recognize truth from a higher perspective, that it blesses every element of our life, every relationship, every experience, every condition we walk through. Right there is God. And as I know this is true for us, I know that it is also true for all of our loved ones, for our families and our friends and our neighbors and the people that serve us in the world. It is that demonstration of life, and we are the observers, and we recognize that Spirit itself is right in front of us at all times. And if we forget, we can step in front of the mirror and see right here is God. So I say thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, Infinite Spirit, for remembering the relevance for us, for illuminating the truth in such a way that we easily find our way through our challenges, and that we support each other as that great gift of love, that which comes from community and friendship. I know it is a great privilege. And so it is in beauty and joy and with an overflowing heart filled with gratitude, I simply release the words of this prayer into the divine law. I allow it to be. And together we say, and so it is.